Amen. You know, I want to just give you a little nugget. A couple years ago, it was H1N1. It was pig flu you had to worry about. Did it? And ask me. Ask yourself, did it happen? All right. I don't doubt it's happening in places around the world, but I talk about this coronavirus. There's been more people killed by the flu in this country than they had anything to do with that. So I'm not too much worried about that stuff. How many give the Lord a hand clap of praise one more time? While you have your Bibles this evening, we're going to continue to talk tonight about hindering spirits. I want to talk to you about hindering spirits. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18 in the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. I'm telling you, we're in a battle, but I want to tell you what I believe the church is fighting. And I believe this church is fighting it. Hindering spirits. Hindering from what God is wanting to do. People fight these spirits. Paul fought these spirits. I'm going to show you tonight where Paul fought these hindering spirits a little bit. Amen. And I want to show you how hindering spirits can affect you in ways. I want to go ahead and give you a nugget real quick. Most of the time, hindering spirits work through other people. Hindering spirits will work through hands and mouths of others. Hello. Amen. So I'm going to tell you, you need to say, I don't want to be a tool for a hindering spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Wherefore we could have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Let me read that again. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. I want to look at that thought, hindering spirits tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you, dear Lord, tonight, and we exalt you, dear God, and we praise you, dear Lord, for everything you've done, dear God. Lord, we just give you honor, God, and give you praise and give you glory, dear God, tonight, Father, Lord, and we ask for your blessings, oh God. Ask for your anointing, oh God, tonight, Lord, and we give you honor, praise, and adoration, oh God, and we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul said these words, "At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. They were given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Least I should be exalted above measure." In that passage of scripture right there, Paul was talking about the thorn of the flesh. And let me tell you, he also said that there was a messenger of Satan there to buffet him, to trouble him, to give him a fit, if you will, to try to hinder him and to hinder what God was wanting to do in his life, to do through him. Tonight, I want you to know that they are hindering spirits that have been sent on a mission by the enemy to hinder what God is wanting to do. They are hindering spirits that have been sent to hinder the move of God in your life, to keep you from receiving what God wants you to have tonight. Even in the church, there's hindering spirits where the church will not move forward. But I want you to know, just because they hinder don't mean we're going to stop. Did you hear what I'm telling you? You see, right here we begin to see that Paul was wanting to go to Thessalonica, and he was wanting to return there, but failed to do so, not because he had a lack of intention, but because he was hindered. It was a roadblock put in his way. There was something that came alongside of him, and he said, I wanted to get back there, but Satan hindered me from getting there. And that word hindered in the Greek, excuse my Greek language, language is ge'ektobin, and it is technical for setting up a roadblock. And it is for a purpose of a roadblock is to stop or to an expedition on to march. If it can't stop, it is to slow down. You see, I want you to know tonight that the devil likes to throw roadblocks. How many know that tonight? How many know Satan likes to throw roadblocks your way tonight? How many know the devil likes to try to stop the work of God tonight? When I look at the ministry of Paul, I begin to see a man who fought hindering spirits along the way, because God was going to use Paul. The Lord had a plan for Paul. In fact, in Acts 9 and 25, his life was threatening. He escaped over the wall in a basket. In Acts 13 and 45, that was Acts 9 and 25, excuse me, earlier. Now, Acts 13 and 45, Paul's message was rejected by the Jews, and he was accused of blaspheming. In Acts 14 and 9, Paul was dragged outside of the city of Lystra and stoned. And in Acts 15 and 39, there was a strong contention arose between Paul and Barnabas that caused division, that one went one way and one went the other. Paul's preaching caused an uproar at Thessalonica in Acts 17, 13 through 14. Paul and Silas were arrested and beaten and thrown into prison in Acts 16. 22 through 24. Paul's message was rejected at Corinth. He was arrested and stood trial in Acts 18 and 12. A riot broke out at Ephesus after idol worshipers were converted to Christ in Acts 19 and 29. Another riot broke out in the city, and Paul was arrested in Acts 21 and 30. In Acts 22, Paul had to go to court for preaching the gospel. There was a group of zealous Jews that sought to kill Paul in Acts 23 and 12. While on his way to Rome, Paul was involved in a severe shipwreck in Acts 27, 9 through 26. And on that island of Malta, Paul was bitten by a deadly viper, but yet he miraculously survived. That is Acts 28, verses 3 through 6 right there. So what are you saying to there? So when I begin to look at the life of Paul and I begin to see the ministry of Paul, I see the work of hindering spirits that have took over it, that tried to hinder Paul from going and doing the things the Lord had commissioned him to do. It seems like that there was a hindering spirit, a messenger of Satan there, that was there to trouble him, that was there to buffet him along the way. Let me remind you about Paul. It was Paul who pinned down half of the New Testament. It was Paul who was responsible for going into Europe and spreading the gospel. And how many know where Europe's descendants are today? Right here in the United States of America. So we begin to see this messenger. We begin to see this one that Satan had assigned to Paul to try to cause roadblocks and to try to cause trouble along the way. So what are you saying tonight, preacher? I want you to know tonight that there's a devil that is trying to hinder the church from moving forward. There's a devil that is trying to hinder revival. There's a devil that is trying to hinder the move of God in your life tonight. Oh, did you hear me tonight? Let me tell you, they're trying to hinder God. But let me tell you, Satan can't stop what God wants to do. Did you hear what I'm telling you tonight? Did you hear what I'm saying tonight? Somebody needs to say, Satan can't stop what God wants to do in my life tonight. He can hinder, but I'm going forward. You see, I read those times how old Paul had all those hindering things, but every time, guess what? When Satan tried to hinder, he got right back up and went back to of preaching the gospel, old Satan and his messenger was trying to hinder the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to hinder the spread of the gospel. But let me tell you, the hindrance would not work, because Paul said, I am determined to move forward. If they stone me, I'll get right back up and I'll go back to preaching. My Lord, how many know they stoned him? He got up, brushed himself off, and what was he doing the next day? He was preaching the gospel. My Lord, let me tell you, I guarantee you Paul made the devil mad. I guarantee you that Paul made the devil wonder. Everything my messenger's done, every spirit I had assigned to him that tried to stop him, what's it going to take to stop this man? Let me tell you, Paul was determined to do the work of God, even though Satan tried to hinder. But Satan cannot stop what God wants to do. Amen? People don't really understand that. If he can't stop it, he wants to slow it down. Hello? He wants to slow it down. See, all these obstacles Paul faced along the side was an attempt to slow down the spreading of the gospel. He wanted Paul to throw in the towel and quit at times. But Paul wasn't. Paul was marching forward. Paul was going to go forward. Well, if he won't quit, we'll slow it down. Let me tell you tonight, church, Satan has tried to hinder. Satan is working in hindrances tonight. He's broken in roadblocks tonight. These things, let me just give you an example with these Easter eggs and that mess. Saying we need a permit ain't nothing more than from the pits of hell. It ain't nothing more than what God, them things were selling good, going good, and people had them in demand. It was a good outreach for the church, had her name on it. Maybe some would come in here to get some good food, some gospel preaching. Not them eggs wasn't good, because I borrowed a head full of them things. I'm going to get some more tonight. Did you hear me? But listen, they need to get a hold of some dinner right here. Maybe they'll get a hold of them and say, if I go down that church of God, get some eggs, when they get some, to come looking for eggs, they're going to get some gospel. They're going to get some bread. Did you hear me? My Lord, Satan is wanting to hinder what God is wanting to do around here. I'm telling you right now, God's got a plan for this church. God's got a plan for your life. But rest assured that when God's got a plan, Satan wants to hinder what God wants to do. People don't realize that. There was obstacles that set up along the way. All these obstacles that Paul faced along the way was nothing more than the attempt of the devil to either try to stop the work of God or slow it down. But I got news for you. Just because he hinders don't mean God's work is going to stop. Amen? Just because he hinders don't mean we're quitting. Just because he hinders don't mean we ain't going to get victory tonight. Did you hear what I'm saying? Oh, how do we overcome these hindering things? How do we overcome these obstacles? How do we overcome these battles that set before us? Oh, that messenger that Paul had, that thorn in the flesh, that messenger right there. Well, let me tell you, in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we got an answer right there. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon you. Right there is the answer. Sometimes, well, let me tell you, hindering spirits can wear you. Amen? Hindering spirits can try to wear you out. How many know what I'm talking about tonight? These things will wear you down, amen? It seems like there's one block and there's after another. If anybody else with me tonight, sometimes I've blowed my hand up and said, what to do now, Lord? Anybody else with me? I've blowed my tail up, what to do now, Lord? Oh, anybody with me? Get weary in them. But let me tell you, I have no doubt Paul got weary. Them hindering spirits was wearing him down. He said, I besought the Lord twice to take this thing away from me. But Jesus said, no. He said, but I give you something that'll help you overcome it. He said, my grace is far greater. He said, my grace is sufficient. I said, my grace is sufficient. Some of you need tonight to understand that the grace of God will see you through the battle. The grace of God will see you through the hindrance. The grace of God will see you through the situation. The grace of God will see you through the storm. The grace of God will see you through sickness. The grace of God will take you through death. The grace of Almighty God is far greater than anything the devil can throw at us. My Lord, he'll hinder his spirits like to wear us down. But we got the grace of God. See, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. See, sometimes we got to get the flesh out of us. Ooh. You see, if I try to do it in the flesh, we got to get weak where we say we can't do it no more. That's when Christ's strength rests upon us. What Paul was saying, he said, I'll glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Yes, Paul was hindered, but he was not defeated. Somebody say hindered but not defeated. Hindered don't mean you're defeated. Did you hear me? Hindered don't mean you're defeated. Hindered don't mean you're defeated. I'm hindered, but that don't mean I'm defeated. Somebody say that again. Somebody needs to get that in. I'm hindered, but I'm not defeated. Say it. Not defeated. See, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to hinder. But that don't mean I'm defeated. He gonna stick his big nose, his ugly little self, in my place sometimes. Amen? He gonna try to hinder. But that don't mean I'm defeated. Amen? He like to be us defeated. Only way you're gonna get defeated, if you give up. Listen, he tried to hinder Paul, wanting Paul to give up. But everything Paul went through, he got right back to preaching again. My gosh, we need to realize being hindered don't mean we're defeated. I've always told my church this, and I'll tell everybody here tonight again. I'll tell you again. I'd be more worried if the devil wasn't fighting than when he is fighting. If he ain't a fighting, he got you. But if he's fighting, you're doing something to disturb him. If he's trying to hinder you, you're doing something that's upsetting him. You're carrying some gospel around. Oh, I know. He likes to throw it at me. I want to throw it right back at him. Amen. He may want to try something at me, but I'm going to stomp on him because Christ is under my feet. No, because he's under my feet and he's under Christ's feet and Christ's in me. That means the devil's under my feet. Listen tonight. We're not defeated because we're hindered. Hindered don't mean you're defeated. There's hindering spirits that was all around Paul's ministry. But that didn't mean he was defeated. See, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:9, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. My Lord, just because things come, don't mean it's over. Just because the devil gets a shot in and hinders us, don't mean we're defeated. Amen? But Paul was saying, all these things happened to me, but that didn't mean I was destroyed. He said, I may be troubled on every side, but yet I'm not distressed. Why wasn't he distressed? Because he knew who was in charge. He knew who he was guiding. He knew who was guiding him, who had his hands on him. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. But cast down, but not destroyed. Why? Because of the grace of God right there. You see, I want you to know tonight, yes, we battle these spirits. Yes, we battle things along the way. We battle troubles. We battle situations. We battle these hindering spirits. But I want you to know tonight, there is a grace factor that is in your life. There is a grace factor that is right there. Let me tell you, there's three areas where you'll see the grace factor at. There is the grace for the race. What does that mean? That means grace for your mission. The grace of God enables you to go places others cannot go. My Lord, I may not be able to go into foreign nations around the world, but some people can. Why? Because the grace of God resides on them to go there. Then there's the grace for the place that we're at. That is the position that we hold, if you will. That is what we do. Sometimes somebody said, how do you pastor people? The grace of God. Amen? And I don't mean that to be funny or anything. I'm telling you the truth. You can't do it without the grace of God. How do you be an evangelist? The grace of God. How do you be a teacher? The grace of God. You've got to have grace to do that. But there's also grace for that condition you find yourself in. Sometimes we find ourselves in adverse circumstances. How many know that? But the grace of God is right there to sustain us. If you're like me, I like for God to deliver me before trouble comes. But sometimes God don't deliver before trouble comes. Sometimes he delivers us from the midst of the fire. In the midst of the fire. Sometimes, like the Hebrew children, he had his hands around them in that time. Oh, but we got grace. You see, Paul experienced physical. He experienced emotional. And Paul experienced verbal abuse along the way many times that could overwhelm any man. But how did he stand? He stood by the grace of God. How do you stand tonight in the midst of it? He stands by the grace. How are we going to stand in the midst of these times? By the grace of God. When you find yourself in adverse circumstances, when you find yourself in trouble, when you find yourself with a thorn in the flesh, what's going to hold me? The grace of God. Everything that Paul went through. Can I tell you what he said in 2 Timothy 4:17? He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. How do we make it? We're going to have the Lord with us. Oh, we're going to fight devils along the way. We're going to fight battles along the way. Church, let me tell you, you ain't going to escape the battle. You ain't going to escape it. But I'll tell you, the grace of God is far greater than anything the devil that can throw at you. There's been times I went through situations. There's been times I went through things nobody's even known I went through. There's been things that go through me that I went through I will not tell anybody. How do you stand? Because of the grace of God tonight. How did you make it through some trying times you went through, preacher? I went through the grace of God tonight. Amen? Let me tell you, the grace of God is far greater than the circumstance that we are in. The grace of God will see you through. The grace of God will keep you. The grace of God will protect you. The grace of God is far greater than anything we can face. Why do you think Jesus said, my grace is sufficient? Enough. He said, that's all you need, Paul, is my grace. He said, my grace is all you need. Tonight, church, I want you to know the grace of God is all you need. That grace factor in your life is all you need tonight. No matter what comes your way, no matter the battle, no matter the hindrance, no matter the storms that come, because Satan's going to throw storms. Amen? There have been times you'd like, as a pastor, I'd just shake my head, wonder, but how did you make it? The grace of God. And that's 14 years of pastoring, almost. The grace of God sustained me. I've got to learn to depend on his grace. God, if it ain't for you, I can't make it. The battles, the situations, the places, the missions, the place you've got me in, the things you've got me doing, I can't do it without your grace. The battles that I face, the grace of God. Let me tell you something real quick, church. The devil has a plan, but God's grace has already defeated the plan of the devil. You see, the devil, I want to give you a little nugget right here. The devil can attack, but he can never determine the outcome. Ooh, in the body of Christ. Somebody said he can't determine the outcome. Only Christ can determine the outcome. Can you prove that scripturally? Well, let's go back to the Old Testament and look at Job. How many know God told Satan he can do these certain things? But there was one thing that Satan could not do and was touch the life of Job. If it would have been up to Satan, he would have touched Job's life that day. But God already had the outcome. How many know he's got your ending before your beginning? How many know he's got your ending tonight? He's the author and the finisher of your faith. My gosh, tonight you're fighting a hindering spirit. Houston Town Church of God, we've been fighting some hindering spirits. But I come by to tell you, God's already got the outcome determined. The devil cannot determine the outcome because the outcome has been determined before we were even here. It was determined in the courts of heaven. Satan ain't determined my outcome. Somebody say that. Satan ain't going to determine my outcome because God's already got my outcome determined. Paul, he could have killed Paul. He would have killed Paul. But he couldn't kill Paul because God already had a plan for Paul. You can't tell me Satan wouldn't have killed some on day one, the very chance he had if God didn't prevent it. He would have killed Job that very day. He wouldn't have beat around everything else. He'd have went and killed him along with everything else. I'm convinced of that. But God said you can't touch his life. You read it on. After Job prayed for his friends, God gave him twice as much as he had before. There's your outcome. You see the attack of the devil. But then at the end, you see the outcome. The outcome was God determined. Satan would have killed. But God said, I'm going to give you twice as much as you had before. My God, somebody said, my outcome's determined by God. Lord, let me tell you tonight, the devil can hinder, but he can't determine the outcome. Because God's already determined that outcome. But yet, we fight these hindering spirits. These things stand there in the way trying to stop the work of God. But I want you to know how hindering spirits will work. They will usually, they'll work through human hands. Let's put it like this. As we read, many of the sufferings of Paul were the results of human hands. Evil spirits will work through people. Hindrance spirits will work through people without a voice, without hands, and without feet. Evil spirits is limited in what it can do. Ooh, did you hear that? In other words, if you give him place, he's going to use you. But if you don't give him place, and this is what I can't tell the church enough of. If you don't give him place, he can't work in the midst. Hello? Why do you think the Bible says give no place to the devil? Because if you give him place, he's got somewhere to work. But people don't realize he uses people to accomplish these things. Oh, here we go tonight. How does Satan use people? Well, we're going to go back into something I've been preaching on. How about misunderstandings? Most trouble begins with misunderstandings. How many know that? When we take something out of context or fully hear it, we can mishear some things. We can get things in our mind. There's some who will not talk to others in churches. One has against the other church, if you will, because of something that is small. It's called division. And I want you to know that now, as long as division works in a church, It's a hindering spirit, by the way. But as long as the vision is in a church, you cannot have a move of the Holy Ghost. Uh-oh. What do you mean, preacher? If you go into a church, my left wingers versus my right wingers are divided. I'll use y'all the left wingers and you the right wingers. Just use you a little bit right there. I'm gonna get, well, this is the left side and this is the right side. But if this side don't talk to this side, and they're mad and constant, guess what? God ain't going to move. Because the Bible says when the Holy Ghost come, what were they? They were with one accord. I've told you before, and this is a strong, if you got fault with your brother, hindering spirits work this way. This is the reason I believe Jesus told us this. He said to take it quickly in Matthew 18 and 15 through 17, that if you got something to address, take it to your brother. Amen? Most of the time I've learned that it's something blown out of context or something that wouldn't even say, just misunderstandings. But in Matthew 18, 15 through 17, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained the brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word should be established. And if he shall neglect to hear from thee, tell it unto the churches. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him bed unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Those are the words of Jesus. Sorry, see. I had to pick on. But what he's saying is, you got fault, go and get it issued. Take it to the altar if you got to. Because he said he's showing the importance of being in unity. But Satan don't want the church in unity. See, he wants the church divided. He wants people holding grudges. He wants, because if he can get you holding grudges, he can get you to hate and unforgiveness to go into the church. He's got a church divided. How many know that? And a divided church cannot accomplish nothing for the kingdom of God. Get that again. A church divided cannot accomplish nothing for the kingdom of God. That's not to say we're going to agree on everything. There's certain things we ain't going to see eye to eye on. Me and you ain't going to see eye to eye on some football. We ain't going to see eye to eye on no baseball. Things like that. But that don't mean I can't get along with you. Can I tell you what we got in common though? Jesus. Amen. Amen. There may be some denominations I may not see eye to eye with on things. But if they believe in Jesus and they believe in the Bible, stand for biblical truth, I can get along with them. I can be in accord with them because it's Jesus. Amen. But people see, Satan uses hindering spirits like this to try to stop what God is wanting to do. He'll stop revivals. He'll stop the church from growing because the vision. This is the most unruly part of a body. The tongue. It is deadly. You've heard that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Words can kill. Words can destroy. You can tear up or you can destroy. In fact, let me tell you, that shall not kill. If you want to translate that right, it comes back to murder. And it also covers the thought of killing somebody with the tongue. My gosh, it's hindering spirits that's working in these days. In these last days that we're in. It's hindering spirits that are moving today. Not only that, let me tell you, God wants us to be in accord. unity. Satan will try to hinder. Satan will try, when a church is divided, it will hinder the move of God. Can you prove it? I want to show you something. When they, listen, a hindering spirit can stop what God wants to do in your life. Let me give you an example. A hindering spirit can stop a move of God, a healing in your life. In James 5 and 16, you hear this. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When there's confession of faults, then I believe the scripture teaches there's going to be some healing. What does that mean? You confess to God. If you've done aught against your brother, you got to confess to your brother. And I believe there's times where people need to confess to the end before the church, if God leads that way. Not every time, but the people who do that need to know it. There's times, but if you don't confess, let me tell you, it's going to hinder a move of God. Where people won't admit their wrongness and won't confess what they've done, it will hinder God's move on your life. And a lot of times people won't confess because of pride. And by George, church, let me tell you, when it comes, the church needs to be receptive of it. Because I guarantee you, there ain't nobody in here that don't have no skeletons somewhere along the way. Anybody in here perfect before God? I'm talking about they ain't never sinned since they got saved. Is there anybody? I want to see how many liars I got. Because if you say you ain't done nothing wrong since you served God, you're a liar. That's what the scripture says. I'm telling you the truth. But confession is biblical. It is biblical. And if they don't confess, it hinders the appealing power of God. It does. Not only that, let me tell you what else hinders the move of God. It is called rumors that are birthed through half-truths and being repeated as lies. Being repeated as truth, but they're nothing but lies. Rumors birthed through half-truths and lies being repeated as facts, spreading of false information. Let me tell you something, and I don't mean to be harsh, but I'm just going to tell it right here like it is. If you're spreading something you know ain't a fact, you're probably spreading a lie. I didn't get no amens on that. But to spread a rumor that ain't true is the same as spreading a lie. Am I right? I half hear what I half believe what I hear, and some of the things I see, I shake my head at. But I'm telling you the truth. And the Bible talks about that. Hindering spirits work this way. It's called backbiting. Anybody know what backbiting is? One behind somebody's back, talking. God's not behind that mess, church. You may run me off tonight because of this message. I'm all right with that. But I told you, I was going to rock the ship this year. As long as God got me here, I ain't going to rock it. I'm going to turn it over. Haven't been, I'm going to upset some people. But the backbiting, the rumors is not of God. I want to tell you what God says about it. I'll just tell you, you'd be better off praying about it than talking about somebody. Psalms 101 and verse 5, whosoever privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Whosoever privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. That means God will cut you off. Him that had a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Proverbs 26 and 20. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. So where there's no tail bear, the stripe sees it. Ain't that some words of wisdom? Amen? Ephesians 4 and 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. See, I think in this day that we're in, oh, I got to say this. I'm getting ready to put two size 10s in my mouth. But some people just can't wait to get on the phone or run to somebody. I'm going to tell you, if you're like that, you need to stop it. Because I come to deliver a word that God's not pleased. Some people are looking to find faults. We want to run and tell it. God's not pleased. You're being the tool of a hindering spirit. A lot of people don't realize that. Small community, it don't take long for something to get spread big time. I told you before about my buddy Amos's mom, daddy. I want to remind you, Robbinsville, small, mountainous. And by the way, they're getting more snow tonight. And I'm not. Just shaking my head right now. 2 to 4 inches. Up to 6 feet higher elevations. But anyway, Harvey got shigella. So it come off tuna, but it wasn't long. He was dead within a matter of hours. And then his wife killed him with it. You see how long something small it takes to spread? Amen? Sometimes we got to learn when people give us something just to shut up and let God deal with it, because God will deal with it. But I'm telling you tonight, people are tools for the devil. Even saints of God can be tools for hindering spirits. And I'm going to dare say this. I'm about ready to say something strong right here. Don't tell me you got the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues when you're killing your neighbor with your tongue. How many know what the evidence of speaking in tongues is? God's got control of your tongue. If he's got your tongue, he's got your body. Don't tell me you got the Holy Ghost when you're slandering. Been a tool. These is how hindering spirits works. I've seen it before, and I hope it's not in here. But if it's here, I'm going to address it. I'm going to address it. I'm not scared to address it. I'm not scared to preach it, what God gives me. But if it's here, God said it better get under control, because he'll cut you off. We got to learn to not be a tool for these hindering spirits. My gosh. Jazz, you can go ahead and get Marcy. Hindering spirits are real. How many here believe we fighting hindering spirits is right now from where God wants us to go? I believe that. But I can tell you, because we're hindered, don't mean we're defeated. It don't mean that we're defeated. Paul was hindered, but it was not defeated. See how hindering spirits works? He works through misunderstandings, a lack of communication, if you will. I'll be honest, sometimes my words, I can get tongue-tied, especially getting preaching fast. I can get tongue-tied. Anybody caught that before? I try to get Charlie sometimes. I'll tell him good morning as he leaves here tonight. Sometimes he's got me a couple times. Sometimes it's misunderstandings how hindered spirits work. And a lot of times it is. And it happens to everybody. Anybody ever had a misunderstanding where you was at one side of it, or maybe you was the cause of it? We've all been on that. And sometimes it's our tongues. We speak more than we ought to speak. We spread things we shouldn't be spreading. But I want you to know tonight, because God wants the church in unity. God wants the church together and not divided. God wants the church to be marching forward. But I ask you tonight, how can a church be united when there's discord among the brethren? I ask you tonight, how can God move in somebody's life when they have ought against somebody else, or when they won't confess their sin? The Bible says it's a hindrance. It puts roadblocks in the way. The Bible says after you confess, then call for the elders of the church. They shall lay hands, anoint you with oil, lay hands on you. The prayer of faith shall save you. My gosh, tonight we're dealing in a battle with hindering spirits. But I want you to know tonight, just because we're hindered, we are not defeated. Houston Town Church of God, because we're hindered, don't mean we're defeated. Just because, I'm just going to say, Lord, forgive me if I'm wrong. Just because some clown says I got to have a permit to sell these eggs. And these God delicious eggs these ladies make around here. Ah, Lord, they're good. That don't mean it's going to stop God. He may be a roadblock, but I know who's the hammer who can crack that roadblock or cut a path in between. Hindered don't mean delayed. You can stand it here tonight. We're fighting that battle. Yes, they are hindering in spirits. We're hindered, but we're not delayed. You've got to say to yourself, I'm not going to be denied. I may be hindered, but I'm not going to be stopped. I may be hindered, but I'm not going to quit. I'm going to pushing forward. I'm not going to allow these hindering spirits to stop me. By the grace of God, I'm going forth. By the grace of God, I'm going forth. Then you may want to say, Lord, I don't want to be used by a hindering spirit. I don't want to be used by one of those tonight to stop your plan, to stop your work. God help me tonight. God help me tonight. Amen. Help me to say that tonight. I'm going to invite you to these offers. You don't have to be, you're going to be hindered, but that don't mean defeat. And you don't have to be defeated tonight, because God's grace is sufficient. The sufficient grace of God is with us. His grace is sufficient to see us through. His grace, Sister Marcy, is in our lives tonight. We honor you and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. We bind these spirits. We come against them tonight in Jesus' name. Hindered, but not defeated. His grace is more sufficient for us than we realize. Father, in the name of Jesus, many are fighting hindrances. But God, let them realize the grace of God, that when they're weak, you're strong. That when you're weak, your power rests upon them. We're going to glory in these infirmities because of His grace. Because His grace is sufficient for us. Lord, tonight, God, don't let one of us in here be a tool for hindering spirits to work. We cast them things out. We bind them in the name of Jesus. We come against them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.